In your Bibles, would you turn to John 21, 15 through 25? This is the last bit of the Gospel of John. Jesus reinstates Peter. And in these days of Eastertide, if you have not in your devotional times been reading the after Easter stories, let me encourage that. There's bits, little bits of them in all the Gospels. John has the most. That's a good devotional study for you. But looking at verses 15 through 25 of John 21 today. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you that when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and was following them. This is the one who had leaned against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said, "Lord, what about him?" Everybody's worried about everybody else's business, huh? Nothing new. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me." And because of this, a rumor spread. You ever notice how rumors spread in the Bitterroot Valley? Really quick. But if it's really good stuff, it's slower. A rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you?" Now, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know his testimony is true. And Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose not even the whole world would have room for the books that could be written. Let's pray. Father, thank you for beautiful springtime in the Bitterroot Valley. Thank you for these after Easter or post-resurrection stories in the Bible. We thank you for John's story, and we pray, as we always pray, we ask for those spiritual eyes that see, for spiritual ears that hear what you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all this and only always through Jesus' name, and we say amen. So, season of the 40 days after Easter, looking at several of these post-resurrection narratives in the Gospels, we've really kind of been camping out a bit in John. Next week, on Communion Sunday, I want to look at the Emmaus Road, the communion imagery there. We started with Mary Magdalene and the Apostle Thomas, and what we found is that these stories are so relatable because they are our stories as well. They are us. You know, you had the dark life of Mary Magdalene, you got doubting Thomas, and again, if we're really honest, we are them and they are us. And so, continuing in these stories, looking at Peter's reinstatement, the chief apostle, John chapter 21. Remember earlier, John 13, after Peter told Jesus that he would die for him, Jesus said this, remember? "Would you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will deny me or disown me three times," right? Likewise, the risen Jesus would directly ask Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. This is not incidental. This is very purposeful, right? It's pretty hard to say that you love someone when you deny having any relationship with them. So maybe Jesus had to ask three times to make sure, right? But there is something else going on as well. So Jesus's chief apostle denies him three times before the crowd in Jesus's greatest hour of need, right? What a betrayal. And he would declare to the resurrected Christ before the crowd of disciples that he loved him three times. What we know is this, is that in the Bible, whenever something is declared three times in the presence of others, it solemnizes it, it establishes a matter. Sometimes it even has a legal or binding nature to it. So this was an incredibly painful moment for Peter, right? But it's also one of his greatest moments as well. Jesus would reinstate and commission him for the spreading of the gospel. And we do have these stories of the apostles after Easter going different places and their adventures and their martyrdom outside of John. So at any rate, painful moment for Peter. Notice that after each time Jesus asked Simon Peter if he loved him, he followed it up with a specific command, right? Look at verse 15. Peter, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Command number one, feed my lambs. Verse 16, do you truly love me more than all these disciples? Yes, Lord, Peter says, you know I love you. Jesus' command number two, take care of my sheep. And then finally, verse 13, do you love me, Peter? And with deep hurt and pain, knowing that he had betrayed Jesus three times previously, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. Third and final command of Jesus, feed my sheep. So John ends his post-resurrection stories, the after Easter stories, with the simplest and most important of questions. And this is the question for the day. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus? Jesus, in essence, is reminding his disciples, not just Peter, of the great commandment, right? You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Is that true of your life and your heart today in these days after Easter? Do you really love Jesus? Most people are not nearly as kind and sincere as when Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? You'll see this playing out in a bunch of sad ways, particularly in marriages as well. Kind of like the time when a woman was upset with her husband and cruelly asked, do you love me? And they said, of course I love you, my dear. She said, well, I think we should spice up our love life and do a little role playing. He said, okay, what do you have in mind? And she said, let's play doctor and patient. And she said, and her husband went along with it and said to his wife, and how are you today, doctor? To which she very unlovingly responded, I have a headache. We have no available appointments till Christmas. Goodbye. Does that sound like your physician? It's hard to get an appointment, isn't it? Well, Jesus responds differently. Look at Jesus' three commands to Peter. You'll find the second part of the great commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus' first command to Peter is feed my lambs, right? He calls us, his followers then, as well as now, to feed our lambs. And we really take that seriously here at Mosaic. Who are the lambs? There are little ones. There are children. That's why we have that fun and instructive children's program. And I've often said this before, but what happens up there with our kids is every bit as important, maybe more important than what's happening in this time right now, right? Lambs need to be fed regularly. They are cute, they are hungry, they are needy, they have to be protected or they will die and there'll be no future flock. That is the future of the Church of Jesus Christ right there, amen? So we gotta be serious about that. This isn't just like, oh good, get rid of the kids so you know they don't disturb me so I can pay attention or something. That's not why we do it. And that's why we have no problem when they're loud up there. You know, sometimes it's like if the ceiling's coming down or something. That's all right by me. This good stuff is probably happening. And do you ever notice our kids always want to go? You don't see anyone getting dragged to Sunday school. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's kind of the point. Feed my lambs. If we're not feeding our lambs, if we're not winning people, as they say, to Jesus Christ, what are we really doing? Did you know that most people in America come to faith in Jesus Christ by the age of 14? That's just a stat. Now, of course, before, after, all of that. But that's a general stat. That's why Jesus' words, feed my lambs, are so important. It's a command. It's not a suggestion at all. Feed my lambs. One of my favorite quotes comes from Pope John Paul II. This guy was a character back in his day. He said this. He said, God has no grandchildren, only children through faith in Jesus Christ. If that's not a gospel truth, I don't know what is. Or isn't in that case. You know, it's like, yeah, no, you don't get to hang on the coattails of your parents' or your grandparents' faith, right? This must be your faith. Well, Jesus' second command to Peter, for as well as the followers today, is to do what? Take care of my sheep, right? What an interesting image. Sheep need loving Christians who can shepherd them on their faith journeys. You probably know sheep have no natural defense mechanism other than running or staying close to the shepherd. Here's the thing. Sheep that run or separate themselves from the flock or the shepherd's care and protection are eaten by wolves. Right? We just got done studying Aesop's fables. This happened all the time. If the sheep run, they get eaten. That's how it works. It is fascinating to me, as we moved to the valley here almost 13 years ago, hard to believe, it's amazing how many people in the valley name Jesus as Savior and Lord, and yet so few actually go to church. I find this very interesting. Only about maybe maximum 15% of the population of Ravalli County go to church. And yet far more of them would claim faith in Christ. Here's the deal. If you're not in the protection of a family or whatever, it's very likely that you can get eaten, right? Church, why is church seen as optional? You know, I mean, back in the day, the Roman Catholic Church, still technically, says not to miss church is a mortal sin. It's like, well, we might not say that as evangelicals, but we ought to take that really seriously. This is more than just a service. This is a feeding time. This is a encouragement time, that kind of thing. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep, right? Sheep have to be tended because they can be harassed. They can be beaten up. The world can be hard on them. You know, that's one of Satan's tactics today in the United States. Get the sheep far away from any protection, run them really hard, and beat them into the ground. I see this all the time, all over the valley. And that's why I refer to Mosaic as a spiritual family. Yes, we're a church, but we are a spiritual family who cares for one another on a daily basis, right? A family that we say is radically committed to loving, giving, and forgiving one another. It happens every day of the week, not just during Sunday service, though this is an obvious example, hopefully. Jesus said this through Peter, who was not always careful, take care of my sheep. Now, Jesus' final command to Peter was to feed the sheep. Now, this is nitroglycerin to any pastors. I know Dwight, Barry, others will know what this is like. Feed my sheep. Pastor is just a Latin word. It means shepherd, right? Speaking of which, right? Have you guys ever pastored churches where the sheep said to you, Pastor, I just don't feel fed. I don't feel fed. That one cuts a pastor to the heart, at least initially. It should be said that sheep must eat for themselves. You can't make anybody eat, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink or whatever. Yeah, but you can salt the peanuts. Yeah, there are tricks. I understand all that, right? Thankfully, not here, but other churches. Jim, I just don't feel fed in this church. That usually translates as, I'm bored and I want to go to a different church. Or something like that is my experience, right? A former boss of mine had this to say about that. There are only two kinds of people out there that can't pick up a spoon and feed themselves. But they wish they could. Those are infants and the very elderly, right? The job of feeding is incumbent on all of us. You know, it's like, there's that Tim Hawkins joke. You ever watch Tim Hawkins, Christian Community? Hilarious. He said when couples start off, You know, it's all romantic, and you know, like the women will say, you know, it's so spiritual. It's like we can read each other's minds. It's like kind of, sort of. And then about 10 years into the relationship or whatever, the guy says, hey, can you make me, and the woman says, make your own sandwich. You know? Yeah, feeding is important. You really need to learn to make a sandwich, right? It's important. It's important to cook, isn't it? You can't assume those things anymore. But spiritually as well, right? Pick up a fork. There are spiritual opportunities all around you, right? That's why at Mosaic we're passionate about discipleship, prayer, care ministries, adult education. That is a hoot. An hour before church. I really encourage you to be a part of that. Life group, prayer meetings, Bible study, literally feeding the hungry. That's been something in the last 5 years that's been great in our town and our valley. Every single night now in Hamilton or in the environs, there is a free meal, a supper meal for the hungry. So no one has to go hungry if there's that need. And it's so neat to see the churches working together like that as well to feed people, right? This is why God gave us this building, what, 6-7 years ago already? I'm going to be talking about that in the days ahead again. You know, this building is meant to be a place where we can feed others, feed sheep, you could say. And that's why I love the fact that I think currently Thursday we don't, but every day of the week there's something going on in the church. This isn't meant for, you know, buy a building and then use it for an hour a week. No, this is a center, a ministry center of stuff going on. And I'm so pleased with what's going on. Talk about the diversity. We have our Tuesday night NA group. That's bursting at the seams. We're one of the only Narcotics Anonymous locations between Missoula and Salmon, Idaho, evidently. That's a problem. So they are filled here on that night. Sunday night, AA is doing great, I hear, as well. We recently, I think it was on Wednesday, Marie, we still doing dog sniffing here? I'm sorry, that's not the name. That sounded weird. Dog nose work. Scent work. Sorry, moving on. Anyway, no, we're not sniffing dogs. The dogs are sniffing. But if you came here with Marie and her group, they are teaching the dogs like to find things, like search, rescue, smells, stuff like that. It's really fascinating to watch these dogs being trained. We open up for all kinds of neat stuff here. I absolutely love it. Here's the thing. If you believe that you will receive everything you need spiritually out of one Sunday service a week, you're going to stay spiritually hungry and malnourished, right? You would never think of only eating once a week physically. I mean, you need food every day, right? What does that look like for you? Are you in your Bible? Are you starting with a little daily devotion, a little prayer time, something like that? Christian life is so much more than just an hour on a Sunday morning. It's all about the daily walk with Jesus in prayer and in his word. Kind of unlike the time. When a man from Texas was on his deathbed, now you probably know that in Texas, a properly smoked beef brisket is almost like a second religion down there. And it's an art to learn to do a Texas-style beef brisket. As a Texan was dying, he said to his son, I smell the glorious aroma of your mother's beef brisket. Go and get me a plate so that I can die in peace. But after 10 minutes, the son returned empty-handed and crestfallen. His father cried, where's the brisket? To which the son said, Mom said that it was to feed the guests after the funeral. Not very kind or Christian. Again, the point is, at Mosaic Church, Jesus' command to feed the sheep, we take that seriously and literally. I wasn't joking when first thing I did was hand out Sunday snacks. People are serious about their snacks around here. You ought to see people get mad if somebody forgets their snacks. I mean, sometimes my wife will rush out and come back just so we don't have a small-scale riot in the church. Feed the sheep. Seriously, literally. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you look at your Bibles, John ends the Gospels with some very interesting comments. Verse 18, Jesus predicts Peter's death when he is old, and he says to him, follow me. In fact, we are told by the early church that Peter did go on to have a very successful and fruitful ministry. He preached the gospel in the very heart of the empire itself in Rome. And you may know the church history that when the cruel and godless Roman emperor Nero was rounding up Christians as scapegoats to quell rumors that he had set Rome on fire in order to rebuild the city as like he wanted, Peter was arrested. We also know that the Apostle Paul was arrested separately as well. They led Peter out outside of the city to be crucified. When he arrived on the spots, he told the Roman soldiers that he was not worthy to die in the manner of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the Roman soldiers said, no problem. And you know what they did? They crucified him upside down. Right? Today, a church marks the spot where Peter died, as Jesus had predicted in verse 18. There's the Basilica Church, where on the spot where Peter was said to have been crucified. Peter, though, look how nosy he was. That's not just people today, you know. Like many other Christians, he said, well, what about the beloved disciple? What about John? And nearly all Bible scholars believe that the beloved disciple was John who wrote this gospel, right? What does Jesus say to Peter? That's none of your business. None of your business. Just follow me. So in predictable fashion, a rumor was spread in the early church, evidently, that John would not die. John refutes that in verse 23. In fact, the church history tells us that all of the disciples of Jesus were martyred. They died often a really horrible death, except for John. He was the one who died of old age. Now, he died of natural causes, it would seem, but before you sort of breathe a sigh of relief, oh yay, one of Jesus' disciples didn't get whacked, as they say in New York, right? Escape martyrdom. Remember how difficult and painful it is for our seniors who watch loved ones and friends go before they go, right? That's why we need to be loving and kind and comforting to our seniors. There is that running thought, you know, that I know some of you, an actual physical printed newspaper is from the Stone Age, if you're under 40 maybe, but many of our seniors still get the printed newspaper. You know where they turn to first? They don't look at the front. They go to the obits, the obituaries, to see if anyone they knew died. That is hard time in life, right, to go through. Occasionally, our seniors find love again late in life, kind of like the time. When a savvy senior was told that if he only downloaded a particular app on his phone, he could find love once again, even in his old age. Elated, the elderly gentleman said, please, please tell me the name of this phone app so that I can find love once again, only to be cruelly told that the app was called Carbon Dating. Oh, you're awful. Yeah, you are. You're terrible. Such was the burden of the Apostle John, who so hopefully ends his gospel reminding us, and this is a really interesting note, that if all the things that Jesus had ever said or done was recorded, the world couldn't hold all the books. But he reminds us earlier in chapter 20, verse 31, all of these things have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. You know, as Americans, inquiring minds want to know. I hope you don't read that rag as you're waiting, you know, through the checkout. It's like, yeah, you know, Jesus was an alien and a three-headed baby popped out somewhere. We have no substantial things on this. But Americans, we just love to be in the know. It's like, why? Did Jesus say other things? Did he do other miracles? Yes, but John says these things have been written down so for one reason only, so that you might believe. So our passage for this morning is a really powerful reminder of Christ's love for us. The question that he asked Peter three times is the same question that he's asking you and I this morning, and it's this: do you love me? Do you love me more than all those good things that God has given to you in your life? Because if you love the stuff more than God, the Bible calls that idolatry, right? Do you love me even more than those very people whom you love so dearly? Do you love the Lord above all things? Do you love me? If so, God's commanding you and I as well to feed the lambs, care for the sheep, and feed those sheep in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for these after Easter stories, these post-resurrection narratives in the Gospels. When you showed up and did amazing things and taught your disciples and caused them to believe and be prepared for their missions in this life and their work. Lord, thank you for the reinstatement of Peter, the chief apostle. Even after denying you three times, you forgave him and you called him to do a mighty work. And so, Lord, help us to really think about that, and also to really ask our own ourselves this morning, do we really love you, Jesus? Do we love you? Do we love our neighbors? And do we love ourselves as well? And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to be together as your spiritual family, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen.